Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to this very special WrestleMania reaction edition of the Pro Wrestling Index podcast right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. And that is quite a mouthful when you're really, really tired, you haven't had much sleep, and you've sat through 7 hours of wrestling. There you go. There's a story for you. I am your host, Andy Wales, of course, joined as ever by my audio tag team partner. He wasn't one of the hosts of WrestleMania last night, and he wasn't on the card, even though 135 of other performers were all on the card. He is, of course, Mo Chatra. Mo, good evening. Welcome to the show. And did you have a good weekend?
Very good, but very tiring. Slept about 6 hours total over the weekend, but it was worth it because we had 3 knockout shows out of 3. So, given that, couldn't be happier. So, it was a great weekend, and sacrificing some sleep was worth it.
Yeah, WrestleMania really does need to be sponsored by a multitude of energy drinks, coffee, caffeine products, them tablets you used to take to keep you, the Pro Plus, something like that. My God, it's a sleep deprivation weekend. That's what it is to get through it all. But let's get straight to it. The whole weekend, not just WrestleMania itself, because as we record this, obviously this is straight after WrestleMania. So not just WrestleMania, not just NXT, but the entire weekend itself. When you said there, 3 shows out of 3, it hit the nail. You think it was a successful weekend for WWE then?
Oh, very, yes, absolutely. Obviously, 3 very different types of shows. One is there to recognise the past. NXT is there to recognise WWE future.
And the Hall of Fame is to celebrate the past as well.
All WrestleMania, the main show, yeah, past and present. And it was a worry for me, as I talked about in the preview show a couple of weeks back, that, the main event, WrestleMania itself, was becoming more about a celebration of the past than the present. But some of the outcomes of the matches certainly seem to suggest that there was an acknowledgement that perhaps, there needs to be more of a focus on the future rather than, the bygone age and people that were relevant 10, 15, 20 years ago. So that was one of the other positives from Sunday night.
Yeah, another positive, I think, what you spoke about when we recorded last week was the crowd. And I think the crowds were absolutely unsung all 3 nights. They really were into it. And it was like a celebration. And I enjoyed the crowd as much as I did the shows. I thought they were terrific. And I've got to agree with you. I think there were 3 really good nights. And it might be controversial, but I've got to actually say that on the whole, that's probably one of the best WrestleManias I've seen, even though the build to it was uninspiring and all the reservations that we had beforehand. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so did I. I mean, one of the things that I talked about on the pod last week was that I thought it would be a very good show. I didn't think it would be one of the best I still don't think it is in the top, say, half dozen WrestleManias of all time. But was it, you know, a really good show? You know, with some great moments throughout. Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, anyone who watched that show wasn't entertained, thought it was negative, you know, poor, had negative views about it. You know, they're perhaps the type of people that, you know, really need to be watching something else, because you know, whether it was great matches, great entrances, surprises, you know, a spectacle, it had it all, this show. And you know, it was 5 hours plus another 2 hours of the pre-show, but you know, in amongst all of that, there was plenty to admire.
Yeah, I've got to say, it was. I thought it was a good show in terms of what you said. You know, it had a bit of everything in there. It was much better balanced show, and I think it's always a spectacle. Last year, it was, you know, with something like 100,000 there, it was an amazing spectacle. But it was, I found it an underwhelming, a bit of a disappointing event. Whereas this year, not quite as many people, but it was still that magnificent spectacle, and the entire event, I just enjoyed it more, and I thought it was a better one this year. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, obviously the Hall of Fame, you know, there's not too much to go into there, other than there was some really good speeches, and it's nice to see the guys, some of them guys back, especially to see Kurt Angle back with WWE. But in terms of the action in the ring, I mean, it all kicked off on Saturday night, NXT TakeOver. We were, before the event, a little bit sort of mixed in our anticipation, so to speak, going ahead for it. Thought it would be a good event, but other than the three title matches, it would be up to too much. And I've got to say, pretty much on that way. Do you think more?
Yes, I mean, overall, I thought it was a very good show. NXT TakeOver events have a very, very high standard. Some of the ones we've had over the last couple of years have been outstanding. And, you know, we can all still remember the amazing match between Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn from a year ago, one of the best WWE matches of 2016. So comparing this against you know, the standards that previous TakeOver events have set, that means that it had very high expectations to live up to. And whilst it didn't quite hit the heights of some of the very best TakeOver events, I still thought it was, on the whole, a very good one. I mean, in terms of what we were expecting, I think the only slight surprise was that Asuka retained against Ember Moon. And I didn't think it was a particularly great match. But there were still plenty of positives on the show. I mean, I really liked the opener between Sanity, Ty Dillinger, Ruby Riott, Roderick Strong, Cassius Ohno. The Aleister Black debut was okay, but I mean, he's capable of a lot better than that, and he was against an opponent who seems to be losing interest because his push just hasn't worked out in NXT. And then the main event, I thought, was you know, perhaps a bit too long, but on the whole, you know, really enjoyable in the end. And so for that reason, I thought it was strong. And obviously the best match on the show was quite easily the triple threat tag team contest for the NXT Tag Team Championships, and you know, really went back and forth, really didn't know which way it would go, and you know, easily match of the night and arguably WWE's best match of the weekend. So you know, I thought, you know, despite one or two negatives, there's plenty to like about this TakeOver show.
Yeah, I've got to agree. Yeah, I thought the women's title match was a bit scrappy. I thought that Ember Moon was made to look quite strong, but quite interesting that Asuka kept the title and looks like a fully fledged kind of heel turn for her. And yeah, I really enjoyed the main event, and but like you, thought that tag team match, that was just tremendous. It really was. And I've got to ask more, do you feel that this is it now? Do you think this is kind of the signal that the revival are coming up, and do you think possibly DIY as well?
I don't see both of them being brought up, just because if they are brought up, then it does leave the tag team division on NXT you know, severely weakened. So I think one of the two will come up. I think it was the revival that I predicted a week or two back is the more likely pairing from NXT to come into the main roster. But And I'm sure DIY at some point will get their chance, perhaps after SummerSlam, or maybe even if, you know, a draft takes place in terms of reshuffling the two rosters. You know, they might even get brought up at that point. But I think more imminently, I would expect the Revival to come up, yes.
Just one final one then. Shinsuke Nakamura, obviously him losing. For me, I know obviously we're recording this before Raw, before SmackDown. Would you expect to see him on one of the two shows this weekend? Because I've got to say, I certainly do.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't appear. You know, he's lost, you know, clean to Bobby Roode. And, you know, that's normally a signal that, you know, a champion, a former champion, NXT champion, is about to depart that brand and head to greener pastures. So if he isn't on TV, either, you know, on Raw or SmackDown, then, you know, that's unfortunate because, you know, he's clearly an amazing talent. He's clearly got amazing charisma. He's absolutely ready to come up. I'd love to see him on SmackDown, but, you know, we'll just have to see what happens in the next 48 hours as we record this. And, you know, if by the end of the week he isn't on the main roster, still on NXT, then I really do feel WWE's missed a trick there.
Yeah, certainly it helps to make Raw and SmackDown a little bit more interesting, kind of guessing who will come up and looking out for these guys. And that takes us nicely onto, you know, onto the main show. So WrestleMania has obviously started with a very long pre-show. I mean, we expected sort of perhaps four or five matches to be in this pre-show with it being so long, but instead, no, just the three. The three matches, and they dragged it out for 2 hours, and it was lots of promo videos that they then also put into WrestleMania, and that's the only sort of downside to the show for me, that, you know, really sort of stretching things out. They could easily have shaved an hour off the show for me, and it just would have run a bit smoother, and I don't know, that maybe I'm nitpicking, but anyway, what I've yet to see the second half of the pre-show. I stayed up and watched the first hour, and I'm so glad that I was able to stay awake long enough to watch Neville and Austin Aries. We did think they would have a good match, and I do think they can have a better match than this, but I really did enjoy it. This was for me, as much as I'd like it to have been on the main show and not on the pre-show, this was a great way to kick the evening's action off.
Yes, I thought it was. I thought it was a, you know, really nice opening to the show. I didn't think it was a great match, but I thought it was a very good match. And you know, obviously Neville retained, which I think both of us predicted in our prediction show a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was the right result. Austin Aries, I think his time will come. Now he's clearly over, I think quite comfortably the most over of the cruiserweights. And that's not saying much. I mean, the rest of them are not over in the slightest, unfortunately. You know, this is a rivalry that's still got some legs to it. And I think that they can stretch it out for another, you know, few weeks, couple of months at least. And in amongst all of that, I'm sure that Austin Aries can become the champion. In fact, I wouldn't mind seeing him as a champion for a number of months as well. I'd like to see him defeat Neville and go on a decent title run of his own, knocking back heel challengers. And that was a nice, neat opener, certainly.
Yeah, really good match. I like the chemistry between them. And Neville, God, I can't believe how good he is as a heel. He's fantastic. Next up, I have not seen this yet, and in all honesty, I have very, very little interest in watching this. And I thought it was a wind-up, but it actually, well, it supposedly happened. This really happened. Mojo Rawley and Jinder Mahal were the last two in a 33-man Battle Royal, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Trophy Memorial Over the Top Battle Royal, or whatever it's called.
Yes, I can't imagine many people predicted Mojo to win. I'm sure the odds were long, not quite as long as Leicester winning the Premier League last season, but I'm sure they were still very long for a WWE event. I believe that the reason why they decided to have him win the contest is purely because they were able to get his mate from the New England Patriots, Gronk, his nickname. I'm not sure exactly what his full name is, but apparently a well-known American football star. And, you know, he took part in the match in an impromptu spot. And I think he took down Jinder Mahal towards the end, which then led to Mojo, who's a mate of Gronk, eliminating Jinder. What was a surprise was that Braun Strowman was eliminated about halfway through. And, you know, that was you know, a bit of a surprise, because I did think that they'd use this match to really put, you know, Braun Strowman over really strong. But that wasn't the case. And, you know, he went out about halfway through, and we were left with quite unlikely few individuals at the end, including Jinder, who's quite lucky not to have broken his neck after he was taken down, you know, speared, I guess, by Gronk. You know, hit the back of his head rather, on the bottom rope. And I've seen instances like that lead to people you know, ending up with broken necks. So a bit fortunate there was young Jinder.
Hence why they say, you know, do not try this at home. These are trained professionals doing this. You know, it's just because you go badging people around out on an American football field, you know, that this is, it's an art, it's a craft. And the less said about that battle royal, the better, probably. Just a joke. Anyway, Dean Ambrose successfully defending the title against Baron Corbin. I wouldn't have expected, I haven't seen the match, but in all honesty, I wouldn't expect anything from a 10-minute match between them two.
No, it wasn't one of the better matches on the show. Baron Corbin was the one I predicted would win this contest. I thought he'd been looking quite impressive in recent months. On SmackDown, in contrast, Ambrose has been treading water, if not going backwards. You know, if you think about 2 years ago, I mean, the reactions he was getting were fantastic. And, you know, if you look at somebody like Miz, you know, compare his reactions 2 years ago, you know, pretty poor. And in contrast, now he's getting, you know, very strong reactions, almost like that of a main eventer. So it shows that, you know, with hard work, you know, you can really you know, get over. And Ambrose, I think, has been coasting for a while. And, you know, the words of wisdom that Steve Austin imparted on his podcast to Dean haven't been listened to, it seems. And, you know, he's really going nowhere fast. So I'm surprised that he retained the title. But I think that Corbin will get a chance again. And if that chance comes soon, that time he will claim that title. But no, it wasn't a great match by any means, and you know, didn't really do much for either person. So quite forgettable, and had to actually go back and watch it again after just before this podcast, just to remind myself about what happened. That's how forgettable it was.
Yeah. You're right there. You know, the wise words of Stone Cold Steve Austin have not been heeded. And it's a shame, because he's certainly got character and he's certainly got ability. Probably needs a bit of a character change up and a kick up the Jackson. And he certainly, he has the ability to get back up there. But it's going to take some real work now. So the opening match of the main show, I expected it to be KO and Chris Jericho, but it was AJ Styles and Shane McMahon. And, you know, we weren't too enamoured about, you know, this match coming about and the way it was built. It was a bit hokey and all the rest of it. But this match was so much better than it had any right to be. And I think AJ Styles showed just how good he is in how he, you know, guided and really helped Shane get through the match so much more smoothly than the match he had against Undertaker last year. But what about you, Mo? How did you feel on this one?
I thought it was a tremendous opener. It was much better than I expected. I thought it would actually be a good match. I felt that, Shane, not being a worker, in this kind of match would be a kind of contest that would, have its share of bells and whistles, to try and hide for the fact that Shane, is certainly not a worker and certainly not anywhere near in the stratosphere of AJ Styles. But to his credit, Shane, pulled out some impressive stuff in the contest and, they assembled it really well. I mean, I don't know who produced the match for them, but, maybe it was AJ, but, they put it together fantastically well. Execution was, really good as well. Just a couple of minor botches here and there, but, nothing that was too noticeable and glaring. And, big spots, had the desired effect, got fantastic reactions and, a couple of great near falls too. And, it was just, great to see AJ Styles win. Had he not won, had Shane gone over, that would have been a travesty. But common sense prevailed. AJ came over really strong. They all came out of it looking good and, a great way to kick off the show.
Yeah, definitely. Some nice little transitions in there. Like you say, a lot smoother than I expected. And yeah, some nice big, memorable spots for the crowd to really pop at. But nothing too silly, which was pleasing because I don't want to see people put their lives at risk just to, just to get the crowd to chant, "You are, this is awesome," or whatever.
When I saw that kind of massive ring right above the lighting rig, which was about 80, 90 feet up in the air, I thought, oh my God.
Shane McMahon.
Yeah. But
thankfully not. Anyway, so after that one, KO and Jericho, obviously this match has had the best build up. It's been simmering for months, been fantastic. I know it probably peaked about sort of 2 weeks ago and we kind of sort of drifted a little bit since, but I really thoroughly enjoyed this match, from the entrances to the action, to how smooth they were with each other, to the talking as well. I love that Kevin Owens is so vocal when they're in the ring. I think it just kind of adds to it. I think the crowd thoroughly enjoyed it. And for me, more, this was just an enjoyable experience, this match. It really was.
I enjoyed the match, but I actually felt it was a letdown. I had such high expectations for it. I thought it would be the WWE's best match of the weekend and would be the best match on the show. But that wasn't to be, in my view. If I was to give it a star rating, I'd give it about 3.5, which means it's a very good match, but certainly not a great match in my view, and nowhere near a classic. And I thought that these two were capable of having a classic. Kevin Owens has had so many fantastic matches over the last couple of years, and Chris Jericho's library of his greatest matches can compare with anyone in WWE history. So, the fact that these two had a match that was nowhere near that kind of level was a disappointment. And it's not as if they weren't given enough time. They had a 16-minute match, and in that time, they could have easily put together something really special. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be. And, that was a disappointment. But nonetheless, I was glad that Kevin Owens won. It was expected, and I think that he'll now go on to have a good solid run as United States champ before inevitably moving back into title reckoning for the Universal Championship.
Okay, I was going to do the two women's matches together as a kind of contrast between the two. I know the other one came a lot further on the card, and actually, I kind of need to do them together just to kind of really sort of demonstrate that contrast between them and how I feel that almost like the WWE like sees the two brands and the two women's divisions within, because Bayley, Charlotte, Nia Jax and Sasha Banks, that match felt like, a genuine match, like that, this really means something. The other one, the SmackDown women's match, felt so much more like, a women's match from 2-3 years ago, which was always seen as the piss break, you know, to be quite frank. It was the lull before a big match, you know, that you'd stick it in between two big matches to give everyone a chance to go to the toilet, get a refreshment and get ready for another big match. And that felt like this again to me. What about yourself, Mo? You know, with these two, how different they felt?
They did, yes, that's right. I mean, the thing with WrestleManias is they pretty much always look to have a match to just pull down the atmosphere. What they don't like to do is to have hot matches back to back, because they feel that if, say, the semi-main event just before the main event is an amazing match, and it could affect the atmosphere and the crowd reactions of the main event. So that's the reason why they book a match before the main event to be a kind of a throwaway match, nothing too special by any means. And, you know, in this instance, it was the SmackDown Women's Championship match that they chose for that spot. So whilst, you know, in terms of pecking order and billing, you know, the fact that it went on just before the main event looks good, but really it's not a compliment to SmackDown Women's Division. And the matches themselves, you know, there was a clear difference. You know, the Fatal 4-Way, I thought was, you know, another very good match. You know, Charlotte, Sasha and Bayley, you know, were, well, I didn't think it was quite as good as the match before between Owens and Jericho, but you know, there's still, you know, enough good stuff in this one to enjoy. In contrast, the SmackDown Women's Championship match was barely over 5 minutes. You know, a lot of rush spots. Nothing was really given a chance to get over and really have any kind of impact and effect. And the only thing I really liked was that Naomi went over. You know, she's one of my favourite female competitors in the WWE. I love her entrance, love her look, love her energy. And, you know, it was good to see her reclaim the title. But, yes, it, you know, if ever there was a case to demonstrate which of the women's divisions is prioritized, and also whether or not, you know, having them as separate brands is a mistake, well, I think all the evidence was there to see. And, you know, it's just a shame that it looks like they'll be kept as a separate couple of divisions rather than as one unified division on one of the brands. And until they are kept separate, then you can only expect more disappointing programs and feuds coming out of the women's division SmackDown, because I certainly don't think they're going to sacrifice the women's division on Raw at the expense of what's always been the B show in SmackDown.
Yeah, six women, 5 minutes, and such a big emphasis on Naomi. It's just that, you know, they're not going to get much in there. I know, obviously, it gives them, they all get a chance to be out there, and they're great for them that they get their moment and everything, but it's just a shame that it doesn't really sort of elevate that division on that brand. It's such a shame compared to the other one that looks so much stronger. We've had the discussion about before, and I'm sure we'll have it again. If, you know, bring them both together, have one really strong women's division and really build for the future and expand it when it can do. But, you know, let's not go back over that whole ground right now. Anyway, look, probably the biggest pop of the night was what came up next. The Raw Tag Team titles, Gallows and Anderson defending against Cesaro and Sheamus and Enzo Amore and Big Cass in a triple threat tag team ladder match, except out come our hosts once again. It's not actually a triple threat tag team match. And I like the fact that the crowd were already onto this. They were already starting, and they actually did it on, I think it was on the Hall of Fame night, when someone mentioned the Hardys and the crowd started shouting, delete, delete, delete. As soon as New Day's were starting the announcement, the crowd were giving it delete, delete, and what a pop. What a pop. The Hardys returned. I was not expecting them to return at WrestleMania, I've got to say.
Absolutely. That was a pleasant surprise. And I think you know, the leader of AI, one Gags Tandon, probably got too much for him, the excitement, because you know, that's something he'd been hoping for all weekend. You know, he'd been tweeting about it, he'd been sending us messages on WhatsApp, and you know, he was really, really hoping that Matt and Jeff would be returning at WrestleMania. I just didn't think that would happen. I thought possibly they'd appear on Raw or SmackDown, but certainly not Mania. And indeed they did. And the reaction, as you say, you know, if there was a roof on that building, it would have blown off the whole building, because that was a gigantic reaction. You know, akin to the likes of Stone Cold and The Rock when they've made appearances in WrestleMania in the last 2 or 3 years. It was fantastic. And the match itself was superb too. I thought it was just about match of the night, actually. You know, some really good action. Not one of the great ladder matches of all time in the WWE, but you know, there was plenty of, you know, impressive, you know, nice spots. I mean, there was a, you know, obligatory 20-foot ladder that Jeff Hardy obviously had to dive off of, and that spot was very memorable.
Oh my God, that spot! Honestly, I just went, "Oh my God, no! Please don't do that, no!" I just saw broken bones. It's just crazy. I could, you know, stand on, you know, the next to top rung. At least you're a bit more solid. But he goes to the very top and it's wobbling as he's about to jump. And I'm just thinking, you know, one of these days it's just going to go wrong. Please stop doing that. It was a hell of a spot, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was. You know, he timed it well. Poor old Cesaro, he took the brunt of it, and Sheamus, not so much. But, you know, it was you know, a great kind of way to kind of bring that match to an end. And obviously, the end followed shortly thereafter when you know, Matt Hardy was on top of another ladder and reclaimed those tag team titles that were hanging above the ring. And, you know, it was just great that throughout the reactions to the Hardys with delete chants, you know, ringing throughout the arena, it was you know, a really great sight. And the only shame was obviously Matt Hardy wasn't able to work his broken Matt Hardy gimmick. Obviously, there's still the legal issue between him and TNA. But I think until that's resolved, you know, he'll kind of play this kind of watered down version of that gimmick that's a bit more similar to what he used to do in WWE. But I think he can get away with that, and, you know, fans will happily chant delete, 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 and like to see TNA try and sue 70,000 fans. But that was a welcome surprise and led to a very, very great WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, it was a good feeling, actually. I did quite enjoy it. I'd like to see TNA try and sue Vince McMahon, actually. That would be kind of funny. The guy who just spent about $3 million on, you know, the end of the stage. The WrestleMania stage was worth more money than TNA. So, yeah, go for it. Just go for it. I think that would be quite humorous. It was a good feel. It was a feel-good moment for the night. It was a good surprise, and it felt right. And I, yeah, enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. So it was a cracking match, like you say. So interesting to see what comes next from it. That's certainly one of the things I'll be looking forward to on Raw. John Cena and Nikki Bella against Miz and Maryse. I'm not really a fan of mixed tag team matches. I don't think they ever seemed to be particularly good. This was, I suppose, just for them to have their moment and the setup for what we suggested could be happening quite some time ago, and John Cena popping the question.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, you, Andy, have been speculating for a while that WrestleMania might be the time and the place for John Cena to pop the question. And, he did, but he actually said that he popped the question 18 months ago. And that was when he mentioned that Nikki Bella was in the hospital and just about to or coming out of surgery. And, you know, so he asked the question again when you know, she, you know, had her full bearings and, you know, she embraced Cena. She didn't say yes, but I took the embrace as as a yes, and obviously the ring then went onto the finger. That was so great because you know, that was a lovely real moment, and it silenced all the booing towards Cena, which was as vociferous as ever. But you know, even all those fans that boo Cena, you know, for a moment like that, really couldn't do so, and all of that stopped. The match itself was really a nothing match. I mean, it was okay. It wasn't a bad match, but you know, it was just a match. That's all it was. And obviously, Cena and Nikki Bella won. They had to win, given you know, what was to follow. But that, you know, moment there where Cena popped the question, Nikki Bella and Cena then embraced each other before embracing family members at ringside. You know, it was a nice kind of different type of thing that we all got to enjoy. And you know, that was another, I guess, WrestleMania moment in its own right.
Yeah, I think I've got to be honest. I think some of the booing of John Cena now is kind of the ironic booing, you know, becoming along the lines of, you know, the fans singing, chanting "You suck" along to Kurt Angle's music in an affectionate manner. So I do think John Cena's won a lot of people over during the past year to 18 months. I think his performances and the way he was willing to put over and help, you know, the guys coming up from NXT and other guys, I think people recognize that now. And I do think some of the booing is kind of ironic, and it's just, they're just kind of part of the show now. And that there's some genuine respect there now, which is quite nice, because it's a kind of recognition that, you know, John Cena really upped his game a few years ago and cemented his place amongst the greats. So, I don't doubt we'll see another title reign from him in the future, and a massive wedding all over the network as well. So yeah, Seth Rollins and Triple H. Now, we weren't 100% sure quite what state Seth Rollins was going to be in and whether it would have an effect on the match. I've got to say, I thought these two played the psychology of that injury so well, and Rollins kept with it all the time, you know, kept selling it here and there. They kept doing spots with it. This was a really good, solid match. I did enjoy the story that they told, and nice the way that they put over the outcome as well, I think. They really sort of beefed that in the pre-show, didn't they, about everyone thought Triple H was going to win, but Rollins has to win. He has to win. So, it was.
That's right.
This was a real story.
The storytelling of that was good. Yes, it was. Yes, you know, I thought this was one match where the commentary team, you know, really put that over very well, and you know, the performances of the two as well in the match were, you know, really, really good. This was actually a better match than I thought it would be. I thought that they'd have to work it very carefully given the knee injury, but. Had what was really just a normal kind of match, and you wouldn't even know that Seth Rollins had suffered a legitimate serious knee injury only a few weeks ago. So the fact that he was able to pull out a match like this was really impressive. And I don't know if people noticed, but after the match, he did seem quite emotional because obviously he had to miss last year's WrestleMania due to an injury, and he was due to have a big match then. And this year's WrestleMania appearance for him also looked in doubt at 1.2 because of another knee injury. So the fact that he was able to get himself into some kind of shape to have a match, and to have a match that I thought was second or third best match on the show, was really impressive. It had plenty of, twists and turns, had a good build up to it. It was a very long match, about 25 plus minutes, but it really built up nicely, went through the gears well, and the last few minutes were really impressive. And it had a lovely spot as well where Stephanie crashed through a table, which nobody expected to. So that got a fantastic reaction. And yet again, it was the old guard putting over the new, and Seth Rollins, had a great victory. It was by far his best moment as a babyface. So I'm hoping that if he doesn't have to take a bit more time off to fully heal the knee injury, that you know, this could be the start of something positive in terms of his momentum, because his whole run as a face since he returned last year, you know, has really been disappointing. So this is the type of moment he needed to really try and get it back on track.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of coming together. I think he's really starting to find his feet as a baby face. And yeah, this was quite a defining moment. So yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a high point of the show, one of the high points. But next up, I've got to say, was one of the low points. Randy Orton defeating Bray Wyatt. The crowd quickly lost interest in this. And this was, I found it quite disappointing.
Yes, so did I, but I wasn't surprised that it was a subdued kind of, a disappointing kind of match, because, you know, Bray Wyatt more often than not has these types of matches. And, you know, when he has really good matches, they're more the exception rather than the norm. Randy Orton is a great performer and has been for a number of years, but, you know, he's just so dead to me now, because, I've just got so little interest in him as a character. He just does nothing for me whatsoever. And, you know, the same could be said of, you know, many fans. I mean, this was the match that possibly had the least reaction on the main card, and possibly second on the whole show in terms of, you know, a lack of reaction. Fans just didn't care. They just weren't interested. And, you know, even the RKO spots, you know, which in the past, I've got fantastic reactions, really didn't get all that great reactions. And, you know, it was just something that did nothing for me. The build-up for it was really crap in the weeks leading up to the show as well, which didn't help. And the Orton character needs some major work. He needs to cut. I think he really needs to go and completely reinvent himself as a character in the way that Matt Hardy did. Matt Hardy went and looked at his character, all the different characters he had played in the WWE, and, you know, completely tore up the book and came up with something radically different. And I think that's the only thing Randy Orton can do at this stage to make people care about him anymore, because, you know, just being somebody who can have great matches and being a good ring general and having, you know, somebody like a JBL talking about how great you are, you know, it's all well and good, but you know, you need a character and a personality and a gimmick to really get you over, even if you're an established star. And you know, he's really, like several people, like, you know, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, you know, fallen victim to overexposure. And the easy way around that is to kind of reinvent himself. But, you know, whether he can do that or not, that's the big question.
Yeah, I always felt that the dynamic to this was wrong. That we'd seen this before. Randy Orton as the babyface, Bray Wyatt as the heel. They were telling the same story. If they'd switched it around, because people still want to get behind Bray Wyatt, so why not embrace that? Allow Randy Orton to turn back to being a heel, the maniacal heel, the dastardly heel. That's the character he plays best. At least the fans might have had more interest in it and willed, you know, Wyatt to win, and they've just been more interested generally. So it would have got more reaction. It would have garnered more in it. I just don't understand what there is to get from putting the title on Orton again. I really don't quite see what's to get from that, unless they've got something major planned. But I guess we'll have to wait and see till Tuesday night for that one. Another title switch was the Universal title, as we expected, and as Goldberg pretty much let out of the cat out the bag on Twitter. You know, ask Goldberg what are your plans for the next few months, you know, hit the gym, relax, you know. So Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, it went longer than a minute and a minute and a half. We actually got close to 5 minutes, even though it was just jackhammers, spears, F5s, and suplexes. This was better than it had any right to be, and certainly better than what I had expected. More, what about yourself?
Oh, totally. This was the most pleasantly surprising match of the night by far. a lot of us thought, okay, it's going to last 2 or 3 minutes. It wouldn't really have a great deal to it, but this was booked perfectly in terms of getting the most out of very little. And, I thought, you know, kudos to both guys, you know, who obviously had to pull it off. But again, to whoever came up with the idea of laying the match out in this way, you know, credit to them as well. You know, this had, you know, great reactions throughout. And, you know, in my view, it, despite only being a sub 5 minute match, was fourth or fifth best match of the night. And, you know, this is on a show that had a lot of good matches. So, you know, all credit to them. And, you know, everyone obviously expected Brock Lesnar to win. You know, there was no surprise there. It was 1-40 on, I think, which is just crazy odds, for Lesnar to win. And, you know, it was a fitting victory. And, you know, Goldberg, you know, took his bumps like a man, and, you know, he'll walk off into the sunset, you know, possibly forever. Who knows? We'll probably find out during tonight's Monday Night Raw. But if this is the last we see of him, then at least he can say that, you know, he went out on a positive note with a good performance, putting over someone rather than a selfish kind of appearance, like one or two of the ones he's had in recent months. But overall, this was about as good as we could have expected. So, you know, thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And as we've already discussed, you know, the SmackDown Women's title match. So the last match of the night, now as a bit of a theme here, as you've already mentioned, you know, some of the older guys, part-time guys, you know, putting over the newer guys, the younger guys coming through. And we got that at the end. Now, Roman Reigns beating The Undertaker. I've got to say, I didn't think it was a particularly great match. I didn't expect a great match. I think Roman Reigns has certainly improved in the ring, and he's good now. But this didn't gel too well for me. They had some really scruffy spots, and The Undertaker, it's a real shame, because you think some of the classic matches he's had, you know, he was such a great performer. But he really showing his age and mobility issues now, that the iconic scenes that we saw at the end with him leaving his gear in the middle of the ring, you know, pretty much indicating that's it, now he is done. I think that was definitely the time, you know, he couldn't have gone any further than this. And for him to go out at the main event of WrestleMania, putting over, you know, one of the next big names of the company, it's the fitting way to go out, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, yes. It was exactly the right way to go out, you know, to put one of the younger guys over, you know, somebody who is, you know, pretty much young enough to be his son. I mean, there's a 20 years age difference between Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. And had The Undertaker gone out on a winning note, I just felt that would have been the wrong thing to do for the business. And, you know, The Undertaker is somebody who is a company man, and he's somebody who understands the wrestling business. And he would have known, he wouldn't have even needed to be asked, you know, to put Roman Reigns over. He would have been there to say, look, I want to put Roman over. This is what I want to do in my final match. And it appears to have been his final match. The fact that he symbolically left his ring gear in the middle of the ring after the contest would suggest that that's it for him. And, you know, the match itself would suggest that now is the time for him to go out. I mean, you know, his last couple of WrestleMania appearances, you know, certainly after that Brock Lesnar one, seems to suggest that you know, he physically wasn't able to kind of go in and have the kind of matches that he'd been having at Manias, you know, in the past. I mean, you know, as we talked about last week, had some classics in the last 10-12 years against the likes of Shawn Michaels, but you know, it just wasn't to be. I mean, physically, his body couldn't do what his mind wanted to, and the way the match was laid out, I thought was pretty good. But a combination of, you know, Taker, you know, physically not being able to do it, but also the crowd perhaps being burnt out after having sat there for 6.5 hours. You know, the reactions weren't all that strong either. And I agree, it wasn't a particularly great main event, but it achieved what it needed to. Roman got over. The only thing I think that they really should have done, though, is turn him heel. And he certainly pulled out some heel antics in the match, but he didn't turn heel explicitly. And I mean, that's something they might be saving for tonight on Monday Night Raw, but that wasn't to be during the match. And in a way, it's perhaps a good thing again, because if he turned heel, then it would have cheapened the victory. But he went over clean over the Undertaker, so there can be no kind of complaints about that. And that for me is the right thing to do, because despite the reactions that Roman Reigns gets, I think he's a fantastic worker. He's got real star charisma, star presence. He's got an aura about him. And in my view, the reactions he gets are, by far down to the fact that he wasn't Daniel Bryan in a Royal Rumble match 2 years and 3 months ago. And that's it. If it was Daniel Bryan that won that contest, then Roman Reigns wouldn't have started to get so heavily booed during that match and then thereafter. And it's just a shame that it worked out in that way. He's a fantastic talent, and this is the start of something. And I think that at some point he has to turn heel, and when he does, he's just going to be nuclear hot. And when that time comes, he'll be a real asset and carry the company for years to come.
Yeah, I think in some ways though, when he was sort of put in that role rather than Daniel Bryan, I don't think he was quite ready for it at the time. And I think the fans knew it and felt as though he was kind of being pushed down their throat. And that's why they rejected him so heavily. And it's, I guess, a feeling that, it's that fans versus Vince, they're both being stubborn that, neither of us are going to back down here. The response he got when he came out, it was by far the biggest heel reaction of the night. The boos were deafening. And I think that there's a real opportunity here, because I think he worked quite heelish throughout the match. There was he was quite sort of vocal, really dismissive, and then using the chair. There was lots of little things in there. I thought he worked, he worked more of a heel in this match. And I think there's just such a huge, huge opportunity now, because with the best will in the world, after beating The Undertaker and retiring The Undertaker at WrestleMania, if they try and get him over as a babyface now, the fans will just reject it even more so. So I think there's never been a better opportunity, like you said, Monday Night Raw, come out and just crow about the victory. And that's it. He's a heel. He's hot as hell. And, he'll probably be the hottest guy in the company right there and then. That's what they wanted, wasn't it? They want him. They see him as being the biggest star in the company. Well, turn him heel. Let him have fun. Relax. Go out there. Say what he wants to say, like The Rock did years and years ago. He'll take off. You can just strap a rocket to his back and he will be hot as hell, like you said. And this potentially could be exciting times ahead for Roman Reigns and exciting times for WWE, and especially looking forward to Raw tonight as we record this. But more, I think it's all on what they do with him at Raw tonight. I think there's just so much riding on this, because I just feel that, what they've done here, the way that it was booked, this now presents them with the opportunity. If they don't take it, I think it's going to be so, so difficult.
Well, I think so, yes. They need something significant for Raw. It can't just be another show with, a couple of appearances. I mean, obviously, we're expecting Finn Balor to return. There might be Shinsuke Nakamura making his debut as well on the main roster. Might be one or two really good matches, but they really need a big storyline segment as well. And they need something for Roman Reigns coming off the back of that victory. It's a historic victory. Only two men in history have beaten The Undertaker in WrestleMania. And that leads us on to the speculation for WrestleMania 34. And the talk is that will be Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. and they're going to start booking it from tonight. Now, if that's the case, I think that's another lost opportunity, because you know, why take 12 months to build that match up when they can save it? Sorry, not save it, but actually have it take place at SummerSlam or maybe in the next couple of months and do something special now, because waiting for 12 months means that they just have to keep it dragged out, and it doesn't allow them to really hit the button straight away. And that we'll just have to see. I mean, they might have a really clever way of working it, but it might be that they don't just hit the button in terms of turning fully fledged heel just yet, because they might just want to work he and Brock as tweeners that fans can decide to boo and cheer who they like, and they'll keep him on the fence for at least another year and maybe turn him heel next year's WrestleMania. But for me, the time is now, and I think in fact the reactions they want out of fans for Roman they would get if they turn him heel, ironically. But they just don't seem keen to do that with people that they bring up and almost are their chosen ones. And it was John Cena 10, 12 years ago. They just never, ever relented in their intention not to turn him heel. And I think it possibly could be the same with Roman's, but I just feel that's a mistake. You know, turning him heel can, as you say, you know, get him over fantastically, like nobody we've seen for many years, and when he gets super over, turning back face again. But we'll just have to wait and see. Anything can happen tonight on Monday Night Raw. And just closing comment about The Undertaker. I mean, if that was his last match, what an incredible career. I started watching him in WCW as Mean Mark Callis. In those days, he was just a tall guy who had an impressive spot walking the rope, and that was it. And then he turned up in the WWF, as it was then, as The Undertaker at Survivor Series of that year. And I wasn't his biggest fan to start with, because I thought he worked in such a, pardon the pun, stiff style. It was something that didn't lend itself well at all to working a great match. But he evolved that gimmick, the character, and improved as a worker as well. And certainly after his first 8, 9, 10 years, he turned into a heck of a worker. Even before then, it was really his matches against Bret Hart around 97 that he was starting to show that actually he's a really good worker in his own right. And as we came into the noughties, some of his matches at WrestleMania and other shows were, legendary. And one of the all-time great careers in the WWE, if not the all-time greatest. And he's somebody who's certainly made his mark in the WWE. And if he allows it, then he's a surefire inductee into a future WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely one of the all-time greats, and fitting as well that he had his last match called by one of the all-time great commentator, Jim Ross. So, yeah, a fitting end to the night in some ways. So, I mean, overall, yeah, we both enjoyed the show more. So, if I had to ask you to pick out your best match and your high point of the show, what would they be?
For my best match, I would go with the ladder match. I thought it was really good. Obviously, of all of the match on the show, that was the one that the crowd were into the most. But that was because my moment of the show is the reason for those reactions. And that was the long-awaited return of Matt and Jeff Hardy. And that was a pleasant surprise. And the one that got the biggest reaction by far on the show, and what a return it was, and hopefully it result in some fantastic TV involving the broken Matt Hardy gimmick in the weeks and months to come. So it was overall I thought a really, really good show. And as I say, for people that thought it was a poor show, I just don't know what show you're watching.
Yeah, I've got to say, look, you know, we have been critical of WWE many times. I certainly have. And like you say, you know, I was very underwhelmed by last year's WrestleMania that some people enjoyed. I didn't like it much. I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was very good. So it's credit where it's credit's due. And, you know, it wasn't back-to-back amazing matches, but there was lots of good matches. There was very few poor matches. And it was just a big spectacle. There was everything in there. It was just an all-round as a package, as a show. It was very, very good. Great evening's entertainment. A bit too long for my liking, but really, really good. Really enjoyable. And more, I've got to say, on a final point before we go, I am really looking forward to Raw and SmackDown. Now, that for me is the telling thing from the end of a pay-per-view. Are you looking forward to the next, you know, the week, the television that comes after it? And I really am.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm more excited than I have been for a long time to watch Raw and SmackDown this week. There's so many different directions they can go in. There's so many big storyline advancements that they can kind of pull out there, you know, involving the likes of Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar as the new Universal Champion. You know, there's the angle that we've talked about the potential for an NXT-type stable involving Samoa Joe and others. There's potential for a shuffle of the rosters on Raw and SmackDown, possibly another draft. So the possibilities are limitless. And obviously there's, you know, the long-awaited debut of Shinsuke Nakamura that we're all hoping takes place this week, and you know, the long-awaited return of Finn Balor too. So, if there's one thing that you'll have to say Raw and SmackDown will be, whether you like the shows or not, you'll have to say that they'll be eventful. I'm sure of it. So, that's why we're going to have to convene again later in the week, Andy, and talk about those two events.
Yeah, we most certainly are. Yeah, it's this will not be your only offering of PW Index for this week. Like Mo said, yeah, we will get back together later in the week. We'll have another show to reflect on the television, then Raw, SmackDown, and should anything happen on NXT, but I doubt it because they normally tape them around the same thing. It's a bit of a non-entity for a couple of weeks, but yeah, mostly reflect on Raw and SmackDown, see what changes have happened, and just enjoy it all, really. So that wraps us up here anyway, yeah, for this WrestleMania reaction show. We certainly hope you've enjoyed it as much as you enjoyed the WrestleMania show, because we certainly did. But my thanks to Mo Chatra once again for being my broadcast tag team partner. We had fun, and we will certainly be doing it again later in the week. But until then, don't forget, get in touch with us at PW_index. That's our Twitter handle. Do get in touch with us. Send us your views, what you thought about the show, or what you thought about WrestleMania, what you think about Raw and about SmackDown, whether or not you've agreed with our views on the show. We'll bring them up later in the week on that show as well. We'll talk all of that. But for tonight, for this one, that's us done. So from me, Andy Wales, thanks to Mo Chatra. Thanks to all of you for listening and downloading. But until later in the week, from the Pro Wrestling Index, it's bye-bye now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.